Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths, and I am happy to be back with you this week. It was a nice couple weeks off as I took some Sabbath time over the holidays and prepared my heart and my spirit to move to a new congregation. I'm very excited about that. You'll hear a lot about that in a lot of the sermon and at the beginning of the call to the table that I will be giving today. I will be down in Vienna, Georgia, which I'm very excited about. I'm excited to be south of Atlanta again. And this time I will be working to plant a church and do the work of the Lord in Vienna. And I am very excited about it. I think it's going to be a beautiful journey and will be fruitful for the kingdom. So you will hear a lot about that today. This is going to be the first sermon that I preach in that pulpit. And what an honor and a privilege it is, first, to be given this call and also to be with those faithful United Methodist in Vienna. What a great day it will be. Also, it is a Communion Sunday, and as always, I encourage you, if you are not a part of a congregation, that you will find one so that you can partake in the communion liturgy and be a part of that and come to the table and be fed in many, many ways. I'm glad that you're here with me today, and I'm so thankful that you are, and hope that you are filled with the Spirit from the message that I have been given, but that you also have your own church where you can go and fellowship with others. Today we are celebrating Epiphany. The 12th day of Christmas is actually January 6th, but this Sunday we choose to celebrate the Epiphany and the journey of the wise men. So let us come now together for a time of worship and praise. The Lord be with you and also with you. Today's Old Testament lesson is a proclamation of things to come. It's Isaiah chapter 60, the first six verses. Hear now the word of the Lord. Arise, shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried in their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Here ends the first reading. The Apostles' Creed outlines the basic ideas of our faith. By saying it together, we are proclaiming the ways that God has shown his love to us and reminds us of what we believe in. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, as we come to you today, we are humbled by the gifts that we receive. And we, in turn, give those gifts that reflect your love back out into the world. The gold and frankincense and myrrh of the wise men are examples and inspiration of how we should give generously, not just to the church, but to those around us. We should give love and our treasures to those in need. Hear us now as we pray those words that your Son, the ultimate treasure, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In his poem, A Vision, Wendell Berry speaks of a new and exciting journey. As we begin this new journey together, I hope his words are meaningful and poignant this Sunday that we celebrate Epiphany. If we will have the wisdom to survive, to stand like slow-growing trees on a ruined place, renewing, enriching it. If we will make our seasons welcome here, asking not too much of earth or heaven, then a long time after we are dead, the lives of our lives prepare will live there. The houses strongly placed upon the valley sides, fields and gardens rich in the windows. The river will run clear as we will never know it, and over it, birdsong like a canopy. On the levels of the hills will be green meadows, stock bells in noon shade. On the steeps where greed and ignorance cut down the old forest, an old forest will stand, its rich leaf fall drifting to on its roots. The veins of forgotten springs will have opened. Families will be singing in the fields. And their voices, they will hear a music. Risen out of the ground, they will take nothing from the ground, they will not return. Whatever the grief at parting, memory, native to this valley, will spread over it like a grove. And memory will grow into legend, legend into song, song into sacrament. The abundance of this place, the songs of its people and its birds will be health and wisdom and indwelling light. There is no paradisal dream. Its hardship is its possibility. Hear now the words of the gospel lesson. We are in the gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter. Verses 1 through 12. Hear now the story of the wise men or the magi. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time where the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and then when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen in the east, until it stopped over the place the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, this inspiration of the wise men today is one that we take to heart, one that we look in our own lives for that star to guide us, just like they did with the star that guided them to the Christ child. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, as I look to follow that path. Amen. 170 miles. That is the distance between Bethlehem United Methodist Church in Buford, Georgia, to the Dooley Campground. 47 years, 4 months, and 20 days. The time it has taken me to receive my call and start my time with all of you here at St. Paul. Now, this is partially calculated using Katie math, which you will learn is a real thing and not always totally accurate. And don't even get me started on the extra time it took to drive through Atlanta to get here. That added years to my life. Whether in distance or in time, it has been quite a journey to get here. God had a vision for my life and my ministry that brought me to this place at this time. It has been the same for all of you. It's been a journey to get here. It took vision and faith and trust. And here we are. We're at the beginning of something divine and beautiful. We are inspired by all of those that came before us and those who we want to continue our journey long after we are gone. It is a journey inspired by the holy journeys in Scripture. We've been celebrating and remembering the journey of Mary and Joseph through Advent and Christmas, one that took them the 91 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Great with child, we see Mary finish a journey that she started with the angels proclaiming that she would give birth to a Savior. Mary had just accepted the call to this journey of motherhood from the angel Gabriel. And Joseph had his own vision that directed him to be the ultimate stepdad. Once they got to Bethlehem, part of their journey was ending with the birth of Christ, while a whole new journey was beginning. One that would be guided by another vision. For the wise men, or the magi, as we see them called, it is that journey to find who they thought was an earthly king. They first go to King Herod in Jerusalem and announce that there was a new king in town. That was a little threatening and unsettling for Herod. Herod decided to send them on a journey of discovery for him, but the wise men end up making the journey one of holy mission. It is the obedience of the magi or the wise men that I see paralleled in our own journeys. For my own journey to ministry, I had to take a big leap of faith. I had to trust and believed when it seemed to those around me a crazy endeavor. Starting a second career, giving up a good corporate job, moving to a new town, and starting school 25 years after I had left it. I had to believe that what I was doing was the right thing and move forward in faith. St. Paul had to take that same leap of faith, one that was started by hurt, but guided by healing and love, a journey to something new based in faith and a vision to be a church that is loving and kind. Not all journeys are easy. I think a lot about the road that Joseph and Mary were taking. Even though we always picture Mary riding a donkey, there's nowhere in Scripture that said she did. She may have walked, or in her case, waddled, the 2 or 3 days it took to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And even if she did ride a donkey, imagine what that was like. Have you ever ridden a donkey while being great with child? The fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy was not an easy endeavor. After the birth of Jesus, he immediately became a threat to the earthly King Herod. The lives of the wise men, in choosing to disobey that king, were in danger. Herod was waiting for the wise men to return so he could find and kill this new king. And yet, despite the danger, we still see the wise men overwhelmed with joy. Honoring the vision outweighed any hardships or challenges that stood in their way. It's a lesson in faithfulness and perseverance. It is that same journey that you had to be faithful to here at St. Paul. It is 3.9 miles from the corner of Church Street and 6th to the campground. It is 12.6 miles from the corner of East 12th Avenue and South 5th Street to the campground. Sometimes the shortest distances are the hardest to travel. But sometimes, right around the bend, right past the cow with the weird horns, and next to the place that has been holy refuge for so many generations, there is a new journey to start. One that requires seeing and being open to the vision that God has for a church of hope for those who have none. There, I am sure, were many times that it seemed a wild endeavor to trust the process would be fruitful. That this call to begin church in a new way, in a new location, with new people and a new pastor, sounded like it was impossible. But you all trusted. And here we are. We are going a new way, just like the wise men. We are forging a new way to the kingdom that is grounded in faith and the work of those who came before us. We are building on things of old so that a new path can be forged. The vision that we are seeing is often overwhelming, just like that of the wise men and of Mary and Joseph. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. I imagine that the joy they felt is much like the joy I feel today. That joy that is brought about by this new and faithful path that we are on, the road less traveled that we are taking. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and they paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Together, we are bringing our own precious gifts to pay homage to our Savior that was born in Bethlehem. Our gifts that we will use together in mission to be fruitful, and spread the love of God together. To share the good news of the salvation that we find in our own Christian faith. And just like the wise men, we are choosing another road to go on to get to the kingdom. It is a beautiful road, one that needs to be cleared so that others may follow. It may not always be easy, but it will always be beautiful. It will be exciting and new. It will be a joy to journey on. Memory, native to this valley, will spread over it like a grove, and memory will grow into legend, and legend into song, song into sacrament. The abundance of this place, the song of its people and its birds, will be health and wisdom and indwelling light. This is no paradisal dream. Its hardship is its possibility. Our own songs and sacraments will spread wisdom and love. Our abundance will overflow into our community and beyond. The hardships are the possibilities and visions that we are faithful stewards of as we start this journey together. Fittingly, our journey today starts with coming together at the table. The fellowship that we find as we come together to partake of the gift of the elements will be what we carry out into the world with us as we work in mission. It is the remembrance of the fellowship that the disciples had with Christ as they too started a journey to mission through the world that we remember today as we share in these elements. Let us be inspired to new and wonderful journeys together as we do. Those elements of bread and wine are gifts to all. Let us take a moment of silent reflection and thanks, not just for the elements of bread and wine that we can share in fellowship, but for the man that they represent that went to the cross and died for our sins. Amen. As we go throughout this week, let us think about all the new and different ways that we will be journeying together. Let us learn to love and cherish each other as we journey together. Let us remember those who've journeyed before us. And let our love and songs become sacramental. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.